Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth consistently. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
It's actually the platform that suits an introvert the best.
Today on episode 462 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with LinkedIn consultant and strategist, Sarah Santacroce. I'm going to ask Sarah how experts can turn their LinkedIn profile into a sales magnet without being salesy, and much more. Find out more about Sarah along with all of our previous episodes at smashingtheplateau.com. Now let's welcome Sarah Santacroce. Sarah is an internationally recognized LinkedIn specialist and online presence mentor who has personally coached over 1,900 entrepreneurs. She helps them position themselves as experts on LinkedIn so they get clients with ease. In addition, Sarah is known for helping fellow introverts market their business authentically and anxiety-free, sell their services, and make a difference. She's also the host of the Introvert Biz Growth podcast, where she has conversations with introverts who have grown their business using their introverted superpowers. When she's not working, she loves adventure and traveling, yoga and nature walks, or hanging out with her three boys. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. And I just want to mention, actually, before we even get into the meat of the discussion, that you and I connected some number of years ago and had some conversations. We're in different countries and we reconnected through, I'm guessing, through social media. I don't even remember exactly. And sort of speaks to the power of the world that we're in, how we can do this. And I'm looking forward to having a great conversation.
Yeah, indeed. I think it was through some kind of podcasting reference that I'm like, I recognize these blue eyes. Let's see how we, yeah. And then I think it was via LinkedIn. I noticed that you're a connection. And then I went into my emails. I'm like, oh, we'd actually spoken before. So it's a small world on social media. Yes.
That's for sure. So Sarah, what's the biggest mistake that solopreneur experts make using LinkedIn?
Ooh, wow. There's a few. Okay. I would say the biggest mistake is that they underestimate the power of LinkedIn, first of all, but then also of their LinkedIn profile. So if you think about it, LinkedIn is very well indexed on Google. And as we know, all decisions, or I would say this sales decision, 57% of a sales decision is made before the person actually contacts you. And so guess what? If they heard your name, they're going to Google you. And then if you're lucky and if you've done a good job on your website, they will land on your website. But most likely, there's a much higher chance that they actually land on your LinkedIn profile because LinkedIn is so well indexed. And so the question is, well, what do they find there? Do they find a boring resume sounding profile, or do they find a very intriguing storytelling kind of sales page that then leads them to your website? So yeah, I would say that the number one mistake that entrepreneurs make is that they underestimate LinkedIn in the profile.
So think about your LinkedIn profile as your sales page.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so how do you do that? Well, the thing is, LinkedIn doesn't actually make it very easy for us because, you know, their mission back in the days was definitely to be a platform for job seekers and a solution for recruiters. And so that is still their number one mission. However, they also stated as their number one goal to be the number one professional platform for professional content. And so they've gone much beyond just a recruiting / job seeker. But it's still up to us to turn this LinkedIn profile into a client magnet, to create it into a sales tool. And so that's where entrepreneurs often get stuck because they think, you know, they think still like a job seeker and they use language as if they were addressing a recruiter, where actually what they should be doing is talking in a language that their ideal client resonates with. So very important, first of all, to use the first person. So don't write your LinkedIn profile in the third person. Write it in the first person. Address your ideal client so that when he comes to your profile, he immediately recognizes himself and thinks, oh, wow, you know, David is exactly the guy I need to talk to. So, it's not that user-friendly. And so we need to actually work with it in order to make it work for us.
Mm. And are there some common simple steps that entrepreneurs can take to make a big difference with their LinkedIn profile?
Yeah, so the one I always refer to first is the headline. That is just so important to get that headline right. And here again, they changed it recently, but before this headline was called the title section. And so what did people do? They looked at their business card where it said founder of XYZ company, CEO of XYZ company, and then they put that in the title section. Well, the problem with that, so if you have something, you know, very generic like that, which is more of a job title in that headline, that doesn't help people to really understand what it is you do. If I say founder of Simplicity, which is the name of my company, nobody understands what I'm doing. Nobody's going to find me, because that's the power of LinkedIn, is that it's also a very good database to find service providers like you, like the people in your audience. So it's very important that in that headline, we have 120 characters in the headline to use our keywords so that A, we get found, but B, we also explain to our ideal client immediately what it is we do and how we can help them.
Right. So you're talking about your ideal client's problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
And do you also talk about what the solution looks like or what the outcome looks like?
Yeah, exactly. So the three questions you should be answering in this headline is, who are you? Some kind of title. Like for me, that's LinkedIn consultant or strategist. Then who is your ideal client? Who do you serve? And then what kind of outcome or results do you provide? So those are the three questions you should be answering within 120 characters in that headline.
Right, right. Then doing it within 120 characters is probably challenging for a lot of people.
It is, yeah. It's like the USP, the unique selling proposition. It's, you know, if you have to talk during 5 minutes in order to explain it, what it is you do, well, you probably lose a lot of people. So that's the challenge, is to kind of, you know, bring it down to 120 characters, indeed.
Okay, so that's the headline. What else can people do?
The summary is important as well and often overlooked. Again, it says summary, but in that section, we have 2,000 characters. And so it's really great to use that part of the LinkedIn profile in order to, again, explain what it is we do, how we help our clients, what we want them to do as our next step, as their next step, as kind of the call to action. And it is so important to use that because LinkedIn works, it's an algorithm. And so the more keywords we use organically, not, you know, keyword spamming the profile, but organically by writing more text, the bigger our chances are to get found for people who search for service providers like us. So the summary section is important. And what's important there, since we have so much text we can write there, is that we actually organize it well so that it's appealing to the eye as well, because if we have 2,000 characters all in one block of text, nobody's going to ever read what we have there. So we need to break it up into different paragraphs, use headlines. So that's important in that section. And then in the experience section, again, it's all in the content that we actually use because of the algorithm. So even the titles in the experience section count in the algorithm. So whatever is in there is important. So sometimes we overlook that because we're like, well, I'm not doing that anymore, but well, it still matters. And so if you, have some kind of past position where somehow you can use a keyword that's still relevant today, then definitely do that.
Yeah. One of the things I find with, particularly with solopreneurs, is that the summary of all of their experiences, particularly the ones that seem like they seem to them like they may be very disjointed, actually creates what's unique about the way they solve particular problems and really sets them apart.
Yeah, that's so important, David. And a lot of people who I work with, they're like, well, I'm not doing that anymore. That's my past. I want to get rid of my past, right? So they're like coming from a corporate or something like that. I'm like, well, no, because, you know, that's what made you who you are today. And let's just kind of dig into that past and see what kind of skills you developed there that you are still applying today, even if it's a complete different area. Like, you know, if you're now a coach and before you were in a corporate position, well, there's still skills that we can apply today. And so that's exactly what you said. It still matters what you did before.
Yeah, yeah. So Sarah, LinkedIn also has some features that people who are job seekers may not necessarily think about using all that much, like publishing or even the recommendations sections, which could be a place for testimonials. What are your thoughts about how to use some of these other tools that LinkedIn has?
Yeah, so recommendations are definitely very important. And again, you just have to change your hat, right? You're no longer a job seeker. So now you obviously want recommendations from clients, not previous colleagues. And yes, those recommendations are being read. So definitely important. Same thing with the endorsements of skills that you want to, you know, feature on your profile. So very important there as well. And then you mentioned publishing. And I would say, if we go back to the mistakes, you know, that's probably the second mistake that most entrepreneurs make, is that they are not using LinkedIn as an actual social platform. They're just using it to add contacts to a Rolodex. And then these contacts all just sit there, but nobody actually knows that they exist. Because if we're not being visible on LinkedIn, meaning if we're not publishing content, sharing content, then our network doesn't know that we exist. And so that's the second big mistake that I see people make, is that they're just not sure what do I do now with these contacts? I've had clients come to me and say, I have 3,000 connections, but what does that, you know, what does that do for me? I have no idea. And when we kind of looked at their network and looked at what he was doing with this platform and with all these connections, we realized, well, yeah, obviously he has never, ever shared anything with his network. And so they all don't know that he even exists. So it's key to, if you want to, you know, position yourself as an expert on LinkedIn and get clients on it, then that content piece is very important, and really position yourself as this expert. You need to demonstrate that you are the expert that you claim to be.
If you like what you're hearing on today's episode, you may want to learn more about how you, too, can do what you love and get paid what you're worth consistently. Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Schedule Time with David. I look forward to speaking with you. And Sarah, I mentioned earlier that you're known for helping introverts. And you know, many solopreneurs are really good at what they do. They deliver great results for their clients. They may not be so good at marketing and selling their expertise. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit about, in particular for somebody who may feel not super comfortable at the marketing and selling of himself or herself, what are some things they can do with LinkedIn?
Well, I fall into that category as well, right? And so the first thing I realized when people kept asking me, why do you specialize in LinkedIn? That's like the boring platform out of all the social media platforms. I realized that it's actually the platform that suits an introvert the best, because you don't have to constantly talk about yourself and your, you know, very great life and all these things that you're doing, because you can just focus on business and you can just focus on serving your audience with content that talks around business. So that's why I decided to focus in on LinkedIn. And that's what I teach my clients as well. Not that all of them are introverts, but a lot of them struggle with self-promotion.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's that piece, right? It's like, well, I just want to help more clients because I know what I do can, you know, help them, or it can help change the world or make a difference. But to do that, you need to still promote your business. And so the way LinkedIn is set up is really focused in on business. People are in a business mindset. And so that makes it already easier from the, you know, kind of look at me standpoint. You're not sharing content that has constantly to do with you as the person, kind of what we see on Facebook, where people share all their, you know, great adventures and look at which conference I was at and look, I'm so popular and all of that. On LinkedIn, what I do is I focus on, you know, teaching and inspiring and sharing, you know, latest podcast episodes and all business related. So that's what makes LinkedIn a great platform for people who are struggling kind of with this promotion or self-promotion piece.
Is there perhaps either a sort of a mindset piece or something tactical that experts can do that will be really a different way of handling LinkedIn than they've done in the past?
Yeah.
They can kind of take the first step in moving an introvert forward. And, you know, essentially we are talking about self-promotion, but for somebody who's really uncomfortable with it, is there something like they can do to kind of get started at it that may not be so uncomfortable?
What I share in my webinar, people can attend that for free at sarahsenacroce.com/webinar. What I share in that webinar is basically a big mindset shift that has to do with letting go of this idea that you have to sell. And that applies to LinkedIn, but it applies to everything else as well. It doesn't matter which platform you use, but I think if you go to a social media platform and always think, I gotta sell, I gotta get on all these calls and then sell, then people will sense that. You know, I'm sure you've received those pitches on LinkedIn as well, David, right?
You connect with someone. I sure have.
And immediately after they send you this pitch. Well, you and I, we probably both reacted the same way. It's like, well, thanks, but no thanks. I don't know you. And, you know, the first thing you do is send me a pitch. Well, that doesn't really work. So I think if you just let go of that, gotta sell mindset, but just, you know, give it some time and start applying empathy to everything you do in business and come from a serving mindset and just say, hey, I have knowledge. I know my stuff. And I'm just going to put that out there. And in the first place, just on your, you know, newsfeed. So you just start sharing it with all of your network. And then maybe once you start getting more comfortable and you see engagement and you see likes and comments, you can even take that to a personal one-on-one level and decide, okay, I'm going to try the same approach, but with individuals. So use the LinkedIn Messenger tool and contact people on one-on-one basis and, you know, tell them, hey, I saw your comment on my post that I just shared. Here's a follow-up blog post that I just published, or here's a podcast, they're on the same topic. And again, don't think, hopefully this guy is going to sign up for a sales call. No, just give without expecting anything in return. That's what I think a lot of the solopreneurs need to start with in order to just kind of, yeah, relax into the platform.
Yeah, and the revenue will come later.
Yeah.
Sarah, speaking of revenue, how have you built consistent, stable revenue in your own business?
So what I do is I work with clients one-on-one, and I have a 12-week program for that, or then I also do group calls. In addition to that, I have a kind of a 14-day toolkit, which is an evergreen product. So that helps me kind of get this recurring revenue that we're all dreaming of. And let's just say the things the way they are, David. It's not, you know, it's not passive revenue. You still need to work for that revenue. Whether it is actually this right now, podcasting doesn't seem like work to me. I enjoy these conversations, but it's still time that you put in to get to that passive revenue.
Absolutely.
That's what I have. I have different offers, and different levels of access to me and interaction with me. And in addition to that, I do joint venture partnerships or affiliate marketing. So that's kind of how my revenue is composed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to underscore what you said, Sarah, which is recurring revenue does not mean passive income, that you don't have to actually perform any work to get paid. It just means that you're getting paid over and over again from the same customers.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks for sharing how you do it. And Sarah, whom do you know personally who has done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
I love Dana Wild's work. She's the founder of the Mind Aware Brain Training for Entrepreneurs. And what I noticed that in the end, what keeps us stuck is often our own mind. So it's not, the latest tool, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook ads or whatever it is, it's often in our own head that we get stuck. And so I really love the work she does with entrepreneurs and highly recommend checking out her courses. So that's danawild.com.
Sounds great. Thank you for sharing that. What's coming up for you in the near future, Sarah?
I'm actually right now working on the next edition of my Social Serving on LinkedIn course, which starts March 8th. I run that twice per year, and that's one of my group programs. And in the background, I'm always working also on my next big thing, which is the Gentle Business Revolution, where I am really on a big mission to bring more empathy and kindness to business.
Sounds great. And do you have a free gift for our audience?
I do. We didn't get to talk about LinkedIn invitations. That's always a big question or another mistake maybe that I see, where people still up to this day don't customize the LinkedIn invitation. So LinkedIn is a very different animal from Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. So I always recommend to customize the invitation. So whenever you send out a connection request, make sure you customize it. And I have six templates that I share with my audience, and people can get that at bit.ly.com/Sarah's templates. And you can just copy paste those messages to send them in your connection requests.
Sounds great. And Sarah, if somebody wants to go deeper with anything you shared today or learn more, where would they go?
Best place to come is sarahsenecroce.com. From there, you can find my webinar, my LinkedIn, everything. So sarahsenecroce.com.
Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. I'm glad we reconnected and were able to do this episode. My guest today has been Sarah Santacroce, LinkedIn consultant and strategist. Thank you again, Sarah, for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, David.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how to turn LinkedIn into a sales magnet and how Sarah has built consistent, stable revenue in her own business. Would you like more consistent, stable revenue in your business? Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Schedule Time with David to connect directly with me. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.